Hey, Sherry.
Hey, how are you all
Okay,
doing?
so I think good. I just wanted to say welcome to our first radio show for this year, the Practice Intensive and Focus of Relaxation, Well-being, and Ease.
Whoa. Now
And as far
that's good, huh?
it seems to
Relaxation,
have been.
well-being, and ease, along with
And I.
waking up and ending suffering. I like it.
And it seems like people have been having a wonderful time with it and are eager to share that with everyone else, it seems.
All right. I get to hear too, huh?
Yes, you do. Yes, you
All
do.
right.
So I'm
How
just
does this
going
work?
to.
Are you gonna say you are now live on the air, or what are we gonna, how do we do it?
I'm going to say you are now live on the air. If you want to say gasho, to speak and be acknowledged, press star six, I believe.
One.
Star one, sorry, and then one. Star six and then one.
Oh, star six and then one. Oh, okay. All right. Good. Good.
So, okay. I am going to bring somebody live. Hang on 1 second. Okay.
Here we go.
Here we go. First, so I believe the first caller is live on the air. Would you please announce yourself?
Hello?
Hi, this is Catherine.
Hey, Catherine.
Oh, okay, I'm on the air. I wasn't
You
sure about
are.
that. I am. Okay. Well, I loved this intensive, and I never thought of rest as being as a spiritual activity. It just
Yes.
I never thought of that.
And isn't it fun to have an intensive, a spiritual intensive focused on rest?
Yes.
Oh,
Yes. Only with Sherry Huber would we have this. Only with Zen, you know. It's wonderful. Although my awareness coach reminded me that rest is in many different spiritual traditions as important as rest and renewal. And I just it was wonderful. And my ritual, because I am just somebody who just forgets so easily. And it I just feels like it's difficult to train myself to rest, to do anything, but then to rest. So since I had to text at noon, or I was asked to text at noon, I did the ritual at noon, and it was very
Oh, that's
simple.
good.
Yeah, and that way I would remember it. Well, you know, it's time to
Yeah.
text. Oh, okay, it's time to do the ritual. And
Yes, that's brilliant.
yeah, and I would just I would go outside. And then I would just notice. I would just be aware and notice. And of course, it's spring and it's beautiful here. And sometimes I was walking my dog, and I just pay attention to my dog and be grateful for her. And it was, in a way, it was maybe just a few minutes, but it was so restful. And the rest from the story, the rest from conditioning, was just. Yeah, it was very renewing. Just a few minutes and I would feel renewed. So it was wonderful.
Oh, that's great. You know,
Yeah.
one of the things that I don't know if you know this, but you certainly see it, like when we are at the monastery or on retreat or whatever, the focus on just do what you're doing. So we don't eat and text or eat and read or when we eat, we just eat. When we sit down to have a cup of tea, we just have a cup of tea. And the importance of that is what we get to see in an activity like this, right? It's we don't realize what we're missing when we don't take advantage of the restful nature of just being where we are with what we're with. Yeah. So whether it's a cup of tea, or a puppy dog, just being right there completely with, we just feel the relaxation, the ease.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. And at one point, I was seeing how unrestful, I was at work, and I was seeing how unrestful the story of what's wrong at work was. And I texted about seeing that, and the facilitator said, well, yeah, that's not restful, but watching it can be very restful. And so I was inspired by that, and so I watched the story the rest of the day, the rest of my work shift, and it was totally restful. I left work feeling totally rested, just, as you say, just being present and just, yeah, I see that story, and then just coming back to the moment and just.
That's my current obsession, that you were watching that mind do that as if that mind belonged to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So there's a story going on. It actually doesn't have anything to do with me, so
right.
There's no reason for me to take it on, have
mm-hmm.
any relationship with it at all. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so that's restful. It's just kind of sitting and watching clouds go by.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
I don't
right.
have to engage at all. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
love it.
Thank you. This was wonderful. Thanks very much.
I'm so glad. Thank you.
Uh huh. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Thank you, Catherine. I'm just going to go down the list, Sherry. There's
okay.
a bunch of people who
Good.
Are eager and ready to talk.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Ashwini. This is Jan.
Hey, Jan.
Hi.
How are you?
Oh, really, really well. And, I just have to chime, repeat. This was a great intensive for a lot of reasons. What kept coming up in our last hour, at least what I got from so many people, was just how the practice of going, in this case, to restfulness, to being in a place of restfulness, that we then had the opportunity to take that with us, whatever we were doing. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, what a great practice. And to have
mm-hmm.
something so, for me, to have something that we focused on all week that was really solid, as someone said, familiar, and the bonus, to take us back to our body. At least that's what it did for me, the out of the head into the body. Can't get much
mm-hmm.
better than that.
Right. If you're going to be here, it's great to be here with your body, right? So body, emotions, mind, spirit, all of us here.
Yeah. Yeah, and for me, I guess the body, I need to go into the body to get out of the head. That's just what I have found works. It's the only thing that I know is, it's always here.
Yes, yes, yes.
And this exercise just taught me different ways, different places, different situations to do it. And so it was just a delight and so relaxing.
Yes. So we know the relationship between thoughts, emotions, sensations, and the body, right? And so to me, what you're making really clear is it's very stressful to leave your body somewhere and go off into a story, into a, in quotes, reality that is somewhere other than where your physical form is.
Mm.
That's very stressful.
Yes. It's stressful and it's miserable.
Yes. It's stressful yet miserable. Yes. And so when everything gets to the same place at the same time, we can just kind of and rest here.
Right. Yeah, and mm-hmm. something else I mentioned in our group earlier was I guess it maybe it came out of last year, but just the idea of, you know, muscle memory. You know, when you're in training, any sport, anything physical you're doing, you know, muscle memory just becomes, you're really training for that muscle memory. And
yeah,
that's what I felt like we, at least in my experience, that was strengthened this week. That muscle memory of where to go to get out of the story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which was
wonderful. How to relax into the body.
Yes, which takes me right out of it,
yes.
Out of the story then.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, not out of the body. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it is, I mean, we don't really like to think of it this way because habit and presence, you know, they seem like they're kind of at opposite ends of the continuum. But it is a habit that we learn to come back here. We have a habit to leave. That's what conditioning has done to us. You know, take us out of where we're actually living and into this false world of karmic conditioning. And we are training ourselves. We're creating the equivalent of a habit to bring us back here. And as you say, the muscle memory. So I come back here. Attention turns to the body. I take a breath. The body relaxes. Here we are. We're home.
Yeah. Yeah. It was great mm-hmm. training. And I'm just very grateful for all
good.
Of whoever put it together.
Well, we know who put it together. It's that girl who's introducing people onto this show. So we can always, you know, be grateful to her coming up with these endlessly coming up with these because you know you've known me for a long time, Jan, and you know we did some great stuff, but there was not a lot of variety in it. Right, and now we have all these different ways, really fun and exciting ways to practice. And on the one hand, we could say, you know, with Suzuki Roshi, you know, we want to really develop our fondness for repetition. And there's also something to be said for having the opportunity to look through a variety of lenses. Right?
Yeah.
So we do something new, we do something different, it's a different slant, and we're able to see something in a little bit different way, a new take on it, and our practice deepens because we're not fighting conditioned mind's story of, yeah, I've been there, same old, same old. It's not. It's not the same old at all. And that gives us a really good, strong experience of the present, which is also brand new all the time. And if we have a habit of listening to conditioned mind, it would make us think that it's not brand new all the time. So these kinds of things are just really, really marvelous for it's not that it takes us to a new place, but it will return us to a familiar place with a new enthusiasm.
Wow. Yes. Beautifully, beautifully said. Thank you so much, Sherry.
You are welcome. Good night.
Good night.
Ashwini, did I fall off? Uh-oh. Hello? Hello? Are we having technological difficulties? Is anybody else out there?
Sorry, Sherry, can you hear me now?
Yes, there you are.
Well, wow. Sorry, I was waxing eloquent about how wonderful that last line was about, you know, coming back to a familiar place with new enthusiasm. And I have to say, I'm glad I'm coming back to a familiar place with new enthusiasm and finding you there.
Because as you were waxing eloquent, the mute button was on?
Exactly, exactly.
Oh,
talk about paying attention. Yeah. And the wonderful thing that Jan was talking about, right, that creating the grooves of resonance to life's rhythm, it's just a wonderful thing.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And you're having great sympathy and appreciation for Michael about this moment, right?
Oh, absolutely. This is a high level.
A lot
talk
going on. All right.
Okay,
we have
I'm going to bring several people, so here we go.
All right, thank you.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
This is Michael from Mountain View.
Well, speaking of, how are you doing?
I am great, and I'm so excited to be talking to you on the air.
I know. You know, it was so funny with the first caller that came on. You know, we finished, and then Catherine. And then Ashwini's voice came on, and it was like, wait, because I've when I'm in this position, it's your voice that's going to come on there. So there's that little bit of, all right, let's get here. So,
yes, tell me what's and going I have on. Great sympathy for Ashwini and that music.
Right. A lot of
I
buttons.
Knew exactly what was going on. And what I'm seeing about rest is really great, and that is that, as you know, it's totally unconditional, and it's independent of the circumstances and the content. And the way I've been noticing that recently is that yesterday I had a day where it was just one activity after another. There was barely, you know, any, quote, free time in there.
Uh-huh.
And I realized that conditioning often uses that as a place of suffering. You know, there's no time to recharge or rest. And that if I just relax into it, that, mm-hmm. you know, it's actually great because, in effect, it takes away that, quote, free time that conditioning usually has.
Aha. Uh-huh. Ah, what a good point. Aha. Uh-huh. Oh, that's a very good and subtle point. So I want free time. And if I'm not really careful, what I'm doing is just giving time and space to egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate to kind of recharge and retake control.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Oh,
exactly.
That's good.
Yeah. And so it's really, really great to see that. And kind of related to that, what I see is that rest is usually framed in a particular way. And, you know, mm-hmm. often do quite beneficial ways, you know, like silence and solitude and time for meditation. But I think conditioning sometimes uses that to its advantage to maintain itself in the sense of, well, if I don't have that time in a day, that silence or solitude or free time, then I can't rest. You know, I can't feel okay because I haven't had the time to take care of myself.
Yes, which is a perfect scam, isn't it? So what we need is silence and solitude in order to take care of ourselves. Then karmic conditioning goes into an all-out campaign to make sure we don't get that. Then we're told that because we don't have that, we can't be okay. And what you're pointing out is that when we just rest and relax into the activities of life, there we have that rejuvenation that we really need.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And
then life provides us those times and spaces of silence and solitude and meditation.
Yes, yep, mm-hmm. yep, exactly. And what I also see in that is there's kind of an illusion of control in there, that I can control things to be a certain way. And if my well-being is dependent on circumstances to go a certain way, and that I need this amount of silence and solitude, and I need this to go this way, and my health to be that way, and my money to be that way, then, as you say, you know, I'm setting myself up for a big load of suffering pretty soon.
Yes, yes, yeah. Yeah, it's so, you know, that's one of those places that I think it just takes a lot of practice to prove to ourselves. that when we are trying to control things, because we're identified with ego, it's bound to fail. I mean, the whole process is a process of failure because we can't control it. And when we let go and just give ourselves over to life, that's when things start, rolling along kind of smoothly, and where there are those little gaps in the schedule and little times when we can this and something cancels and we're able to just go for a walk out in nature or whatever it is. We find ourselves really beautifully cared for, and because we're not trying to control life, we're automatically more relaxed.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. And as you were talking, what occurred to me is I have a habit with my spouse of saying at the end of every day, winner, you know, and a high five. It was a winner day. And I remember a day a month or two ago that was really difficult for me when my mom fell and broke her pelvis. And and we remembered that at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. It's a winner day. You know, it's unconditional no matter what happens.
Yes.
And it's just so critical for me to maintain that focus on it's a winner, you know, it's a winner. I'm alive. There's this moment. Lots of things are going to happen that I'm not going to like, and eventually I'm going to die, and still a winner.
Yes. Yeah. Every day is a perfect day.
Yep.
Whether I liked what happened or didn't like what happened, it was a perfect day for me because I had the best opportunity I'm ever going to have to let go completely, to love unconditionally, to be here, and enjoy. Wow. That's very good. Yeah. How is your mom, by the way?
She is much, much improved, and it's a great relief, and I'm incredibly grateful for her life and its infinite wisdom, and it's all very good.
Good. Will you give her my very best, would you?
I will. And deep gratitude to you, Sherry, and Practice, and Ashwini, and all these wonderful opportunities. It's a huge blessing for me, and I'm glad I continue to show up.
Me too. I second all of that, and I'm glad that you show up, and I'm glad that I show up too. I'm glad we all do. Yeah,
yep.
It's a good deal. All right.
Miracle.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, Sherry.
Good night, Michael.
Good night. You know, Sherry, what I loved about that conversation is how restful the unconditional is.
Yes. Yeah. They're synonyms,
because,
aren't they? Unconditional and restful.
Yeah, there's no separation. So all the energy is just available for whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, we'll get the next caller online. Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Yes, my name is Carolyn. And
hello, Carolyn.
Hi. I had a lot of resistance come up in doing this intensive, and I have so long identified as a human doing rather than a human being, so stopping doing to just be and rest was really, really difficult, and in fact, I didn't really do it. I just didn't really do it. There was that much resistance. There were a couple times where I said to myself, why is this so bloody hard? Just do something. So then yesterday and today, I actually got up, and before I started doing, I sat for 15 minutes. I did a little bit of yoga, and so that was my way of just taking some control back, you know, taking some power back.
Yes. Yes, that is such a good point. So first of all, the thing that we definitely get is resistance is not restful.
Right.
And
right.
then to have that realization that it's a critical realization to have that, oh, I always thought I was in control of my life and I was making these decisions. And now I want to do something. I've decided to do something and I can't do it. So it gets really clear that I'm actually not in control of my life and I'm not making these decisions. And that really inspires us to say, that's enough. That's enough. I no.
Yeah.
I will do when I choose to do, and it will be restful because this being is what I choose to do.
Well, it horrified me that I would go so long and go to such lengths of being out of control before I finally would say, hey, enough's enough. I am taking control back. And the facilitator who responded to me said something that helped. And I don't know if it was a he or a she, but the person wrote, you are, or the authentic you or authenticity is the person who is willing and even eager to enjoy a moment of quiet rest. And I said, yes, that person is in me, or that person is me.
Is me, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
It is me, and so let that person speak and express herself. And so that's the next morning I got up and I said, yes, I am eager and willing. I do want to sit, and so I did.
Yes, and you know what you're describing is just the heart and soul of practice, right? That is practice. I start out to do something, and I watch what happens. I see what I see from that. There's all this awareness and clarity, and I get in touch with the fact that I want to practice. I choose to practice. I'm not identified with that resistance any longer. I can see that's not me. That's not who I am. And now I start down. It's the same path, but it's a very different path of now doing what I know I choose to do in my life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's very different from thinking that ego voice is me.
Mm-hmm.
Just it's a different world, isn't it?
Yes. Yes, it is. And in a conversation with my mentor, the mentor said, just take one little step, just one little step. That's how it begins, with you taking your power back, just making one step. And and I did.
Yes. Yeah.
And that was
the thing that I want to encourage you with, just in case you need any encouragement, the next thing it's going to do, so, you know, you decide, you know, I want to 5 days out of the week, maybe seven, who knows. Yeah, I want to meditate when I get up. And then karmic conditioning is going to try to make that a contest. It's going to try to tell you that wasn't really a good meditation. And on the day that you really don't have time and you only sit for 10 minutes, then you're a failure and you might as well quit. And so above all, don't allow it to assess your practice. Because it doesn't know, and all it wants is to mess you up.
It
wants control back. So now kind of the here we are, right? This is the spiritual battle, right? Not to let it regain control of your life. And of course the thing that we bring to it is loving kindness. Right? Because you want to save that human being. You want her to have the life that she was born to have, and you're gonna provide that for her.
Yep, I'm gonna write that down so I remember it.
Just talk to me anytime. I'll remind you.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. Good night.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Thank you, Carolyn. Okay, Sherry, I'm just gonna keep going down the list.
Okay.
Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Sung Ho calling.
Well, hello.
Hi, long time no speak.
Long time no talk to you. How are you doing?
Yeah. I'm kidding. I'm doing well. I'm doing well. Yeah.
Good.
I'm seeing a lot of interesting things through this practice intensive. So, I thought I'd just share that. I have nothing planned, so I'm just gonna talk.
Tell it. Just give us a couple of interesting things you've seen. A couple of insights or awarenesses.
So, one of the things that I saw was that I have this very pronounced story right now, which probably has been going on a long time, and that's the story of, oh, I don't have enough time. You don't have enough time. You're running out of time. And I wrote that to one of the facilitators. Like, today I'm noticing that I have this story again of you don't have enough time. There's not enough time to rest or to do whatever or all the things that you want. You're running out. You have to hurry and that kind of stuff. So I wrote that and I said, today I'm, you know, because I know that's on a deeper level. Like, I know that's not true. I don't, like, on a, even though I do get caught up in it, I just don't believe that.
It sure feels like it, though, doesn't it?
Yeah. It can, I mean, I think it, It is like a habit that I just kind of go into, even though now I'm aware, like, that's not me. That's not what I really believe, but here I am again, you know, somehow. And, yeah, I wrote, today I'm going to ask every time I hear that story, what am I prioritizing in this moment instead of I don't have enough time to rest? Because when I actually thought about it, I was like, well, there's not the concept is kind of like a made-up concept in a way, like the 24 hours in a day, or like you don't really know how much time you have on this earth. That's kind of indefinite. And it's like the whole concept, like Monday through Sunday is just something that we made up to kind of keep track. And so really, like, what it is like how much of my time and energy or attention that I want to be, what do I really want to focus on versus like the story, like versus like listening to the story, like I don't have enough time. You don't have enough time to do this. And of course, what comes with that, like the story of regret or worry.
Deprivation.
Yeah, like, oh, like if you only like worked harder before, you would have more time now. Or like the future one is like, well, if the future one is like, oh, like how do you plan? How are you going to plan so that you are going to have all the time in the world to do what you really want to do now? Or it just doesn't make any sense, obviously.
But it likes to, the conditioned mind likes to think about it a lot, even though it makes no sense.
Oh, yeah. It definitely loves to think about it. And what I've also been seeing is through this process is like I'm going through or I'm doing a lot of circus training right now. And I've kind of, through my experience of it, I've seen that, like, it's kind of very much I don't know what the right word is, but it's very much it's shown me that a lot of ideas about rest and working hard is so much of it is just conditioned. And kind of giving me a different reference point from seeing what rest is. And I like definitely agree that rest comes from taking a break from conditioned mind. I think that's very restful. And that, like, you know, doing like hours and hours of work can actually be restful. But conditioned mind always has a sort of like, oh my God, that's too much, or like, oh, that's too little. And yeah, so it's just been kind of interesting.
So again, if you're really present and relaxed in what you're doing, then your work can be restful, right? And you get finished with it and you feel great and now you're ready to go on to the next thing. But conditioning always wants to make a problem out of everything, right? So it's too much work, it's too little work, you should always be doing something other than what you're doing. And basically, there's always something wrong with whatever you're doing.
Right. So, it's been interesting to observe that. And I kind of, like, was noticing, you know, like, even today, it's really got me in, like, a story of, like, oh, you're starting school next fall, and you don't have enough time, and... how are you gonna like micromanage this so that you can have enough of that? And And yeah, it's just, I guess that's just kind of like, there's no point to like indulging that conversation. It's just
right.
And,
because
yeah.
if the body is relaxed and the mind is relaxed, right, then without that conversation, it gets obvious quickly that there isn't a problem, right? So without a conversation about you don't have enough time, there is just the time that you have and whatever it is that you're doing with that time. Yeah, so we just relax the mind, relax the body, and here we are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
That's good. That's good. Because one thing conditioned mind would tell us is that it's only relaxing when you're not working. But you always have to be working, so you can never really be relaxed. But in fact, we can work relaxed and have a really good time. And then we can relax relaxed and have a really good time.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's funny, like, I feel like I understand all of it on an intellectual level, and, like, I listen to the recording, like, oh, yeah, that's not, you know, that's just the same thing over again. I mean, come on, like, you know. But there's, like, still a part of me that's still, like, kind of stuck in it. It's just interesting,
yeah.
And it's, like, I wonder if it's, like, well, it's just something that's probably going to pass. Like, I wonder if it's, like, a sensation in my body that's just kind of, my system just like elevated, and that's why I still feel this like angst in a way, or and that once that kind of changes, like this, I'll be able to be more relaxed. I don't know if that makes sense.
Oh, yes. Yes. You can practice this, and as you practice this, your orientation to it will change. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Right,
yeah.
So it's just like the first time you do something.
It's like anything else.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not a given, it's a habit.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
That makes sense.
Well, good. restfulness ahead, huh?
Yeah. I hope so. I think restfulness, but not in the way that I think it's going to be restful. Do you know what I mean? Like, cause,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's more
let those shoulders drop and feel that breath fill the body and move into the space between the thoughts and let life inform you.
All right. Sounds good. Okay.
Good. All right.
Okay.
Thanks.
All right. Bye-bye. Thank
bye-bye.
You.
Thanks, Sungho. You know, the thing that dropped in for me around that call, Sherry, is just that we have to practice relaxation because conditioning has taken over that definition, and it defines it as a duality between work and relaxation, but it's the process of relaxation that we're practicing, and that's just
yes.
a different orientation of it.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, and I think what we all stumble over is going back to that habit of conditioned mind making things either or.
Mm-hmm.
So you're either working or you're relaxing, and trying to shift into that how I am is how I am. What I'm doing is irrelevant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and what I hear you say in that is the hard conditioned orientation that movement implies an absence of relaxation.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
That's the hardest thing for us to get past because there's relaxed movement, because there's a process
yes.
that we engage in, which is the absence of the conditioned process that makes the movement natural and at ease
yes.
with life
yes.
as it flows.
Mm-hmm. So when we watch a bird flying, we can have a sense of that.
Yes.
Imagine what would happen to that poor little critter if it suddenly got all tensed and stressed and angst-ridden.
Exactly. It's
mm-hmm.
exactly.
Okay, well, I'm going to get the next caller live.
All right.
Caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Ashwini. This is Joyce.
Oh, hello, Joyce.
How are you doing?
What are you up to? I'm doing great. You?
I'm doing great.
Good. What's going on?
I loved this intensive. And it started out with an emergency in the family, which I had no control over because it was in a distance. And so I needed to let go of the tension around that and be really watch so I could just relax into it and know that everything was okay.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, a couple of days later, just to see if I'd been really practicing, then there was an emergency in the family that I got to participate in. And was able to walk into that with the relaxation, with the attentiveness to detail the things that needed to happen in order to walk through a four-hour visit to an emergency room in a way that was so unexpectedly relaxed and kind. Because of the way that this being handled that, there was compassion for me and for the other person in it. And it made the whole experience so absolutely different than I could ever have imagined.
Uh-huh. Well, and I can only guess it was a real blessing for everyone involved to have someone there who was in a place of acceptance and well-being for everything that was going on.
I think so. And, you know, people kept saying, oh, you did such a great job. And I'm not sure how to say to people, well, you know, that just wasn't me.
Right.
I don't know how to say that because most people, I've said that before,
yeah.
People look at me like, ooh,
yeah,
you're nuts, but that's okay.
Yeah.
But it was a perfect walkthrough of preparing for something and then having it happen.
Mm-hmm. And probably the very best response is just, thank you.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Because I would guess that whether they sense that. They sense that it's not you in the sense of it's not a personality. It's not a conditioned person. Now, most people don't have language for that. But there is an intuitive sensing when in the presence of somebody who is not doing the conditioned reaction thing.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and people can kind of relax with that, take comfort in that, be grateful because it feels different. You know, everybody else perhaps is hysterical or you know, in an emergency situation, we usually, so, you know, there's an emergency and you're the person that it happened to, right, whatever it is, and we can all get so caught up in our own conditioned reactions that we forget that this is about you.
Yes.
Yeah?
Right.
And so if there's somebody who isn't forgetting what's actually going on here, but is actually present to what's going on here, and on top of that, all right with what's going on here, accepting of it and present to it as it is, that can be tremendously relaxing for people.
So in hearing you say that, what drops in for me is that only conditioning would think that I needed to explain it.
Yes. Yes. That it would be immodest of you just to acknowledge their compliment with a simple thank you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. And somebody said something about muscle memory, and I think what was happening with this this intensive was changing that muscle memory. You all talked about it here, and it just feels like changing that habit for a habit that is more productive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. And it's that simple. And that's what we always must follow that with is it's not necessarily easy, but it is that simple.
Yes.
The image just came to me, and I know nothing about this, so I don't actually know why this image came to me. But I think this is the case, that somebody is scuba diving, and they're way down under the water, and something happens, and the impulse is to panic and start gulping air. And what you have to do is relax and breathe really slowly and deliberately, kind of meditatively. And it goes against every instinct and every bit of conditioning we have. But that's what we need to do in order to be all right. And in that situation, I hope that there's some validity to this, but if there's not, let's all pretend that there is. In order to be all right in any of those circumstances, a person must train themselves to go against that survival instinct, which is what we're caught in with ego. It's ego's survival instincts that we struggle with, and we must train ourselves not to fall into that, but to come back to a la this intensive into a relaxed, present, calm state in order to survive ego's survival system.
That was so true.
Mm-hmm.
In being in that moment is restful, and being present and not buying into, I think as you said, you know, everybody else running around and saying, no, let's just look at this, we need to do this and this and this, and just mm-hmm. maintain that calm.
Yes.
It just happened, and it was restful.
Mm-hmm.
Which ego mm-hmm. is just trying to make something else out of it. And
yes. Yes. Which it always is doing, right? So an experience like that is gets our attention because that's the kind of situation, I mean, I have my own image, of course, of what you were going through and where you were and that sort of thing. But that's the kind of situation that ego wants to point out and say, yes, but see, you really do need to be hysterical here. This really is important. And you need to go with me and get crazy. And if we can, when we can not fall into that, and we can stay in that calm, centered, accepting, present place, it really gets our own attention. If that's possible in that kind of situation, then I bet I could spend a lot more of my life in that restful, calm, present state, because usually I'm not in an emergency situation.
That is so true. But that was a couple of days ago, and since then, being here now is so much easier.
Yes. Yeah.
So beautiful. And and I, part of that I attribute to my, a practice that I've been doing is, if I'm afraid of something, I turn and face it and put myself in the situation so I become familiar with it.
Yes.
Instead of being an isolated fear that sneaks up on me and gets me, it's like, there's the fear. How does it work?
Uh-huh.
Turning to that, instead of turning the way I turn to it.
Yes.
And so in this situation, it wasn't fear. Well, I wouldn't label it fear, but it was that practice of turning to something instead of turning
mm-hmm.
away.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and it's never scary, is it? It's never overwhelming. It's never too much. Never anything we can't handle when we turn around and face it. It's the turning around and facing it that frees us.
That's my experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I am so grateful for the intensive and for the continued practice that's available and that I can participate in.
Aren't we lucky?
Gosho.
Gosho to you. Thank you, Joyce.
Thank you, Joyce. Sure, I think we could get a couple more callers. And
all right.
I'm seeing the next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you introduce yourself? Next caller.
Are you there? Oh, here comes somebody.
Oh. Hi, guys. This is Laura.
Hey, Laura.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good. You?
Well, I'm good. I totally didn't show up for this intensive at all. And I chose to get on the phone anyways and
just confessed.
Yeah. You know what? The announcement came out right before an event that I attended, and I pretty much forgot all about it. And it would drop in every now and again, and I would remember, and then I would forget. And what I was realizing as I was listening to people is, it's so interesting that this topic of restfulness is something that I, quote, forgot, because it's something that I, it's not something that I allow into my life very often.
Uh-huh. So it would follow, huh?
Yeah, pretty easily, yeah. And I loved hearing what you guys were talking about, that ability to be restful while you're doing anything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, truly, really a foreign concept for as a practice. I feel like I can be restful on retreat. I can be restful on vacation. I can be, right? And so that notion of really practicing bringing restfulness into each moment is a, wow, what a concept that I would love to bring
into. It's something I hear you being ready to take on.
I agree.
So,
go
ahead.
No, you go.
Well, where I was going to go with it is, you said it, you know, I can be restful on retreat, I can be restful on vacation. But what our practice is a meditation practice, right? And what we are focusing on when we're sitting is the breath. And blessedly, that breath is with us all the time. So to have, as a training practice, these two things, to me, are life-changing for just about all of us modern types. Feel the shoulders relax, feel the breath moving freely in the body.
Yeah.
Those two things. And to train yourself to be checking constantly. So when we're sitting in meditation, what we're doing constantly is auditing our posture, right? We're not thinking about our posture, but we're checking. Is the abdomen relaxed? Are the shoulders dropped? Is the nose in line with the navel? Am I sitting up straight? So there's just that check-in with how the body is. And to take that off the cushion and into daily life so that when you're sitting at work, you have a habit of scanning your body. You're making sure the shoulders are dropped. You're with the breath. You're feeling the breath move in the body such that when the breath is not moving easily in the body, you're aware of that, okay? And you, part of what you'll become aware of course, is what's going on with you when the breath is not moving freely in the body. So then you get up and you walk around and you walk from that relaxed shoulders, breath moving easily in the body. And of course, the practice that we have in Zen of counting the breath, we can take into walking, into, you can be with the relaxed shoulders and the relaxed abdomen and the breath when we're driving, when we're doing anything. And eventually, we can get to the point of being aware of that even when we're with other people, in a conversation.
Yeah. I can picture it.
Good. Then you can do it.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, when I was on, when I was kind of waiting and listening to you all, I was at our son's flag football practice, and so it was interesting that I got up and was just walking around, and I was letting myself practice that same thing. The shoulders for me are the key, right? When I can feel that tension, I heard you or someone say at one point something about that tension signals stress in the body, right? So if we can relax the body, that begins the signaling to relax or something to that matter.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the body is tense, and that sends a signal that gets interpreted as there's something wrong. And, of course, conditioned mind, then it's going to fill in all of the information about that, right? So with things like yoga, getting a massage, all of those kinds of activities, that help the body not to hold habitual tension, frees us. And so now with awareness practice, we can add that as a moment-by-moment practice. Whatever we're doing, and of course the beauty of that is that we cannot be auditing and relaxing, helping the body relax, and carrying on a story in conditioned mind. We can't do both of those simultaneously. So we're having to turn loose of the story and conditioned mind in order to be present with the body.
That is so helpful. And I can, that is absolutely true. When I'm present with the body, you're right, I'm not in a story. I don't think I'd ever seen it in that way. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Isn't that good?
Oh,
so simple.
So even though I was not at retreat, I'm still benefiting for it, or this intensive.
That's right. And it's not too late. You can do it next week. You can just
do
the practice. Yeah, and then just text anybody. text yourself. What the heck? There was something about that I was going to add to. For everybody who does recording and listening, which is, of course, everybody, in our sangha anyway, to make some recordings of that. Mm. You know, I'm feeling my shoulders drop. I'm feeling the abdomen relax. I can feel the breath moving in the body. Like that. And just talk yourself, create a guided imagery and listen to it regularly. And and conscious awareness will pick it up and just start reminding you.
Yep. Well, I am absolutely committed to it. Thank you.
Oh, you are so welcome. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks, Laura. Sherry, we're at the top of the hour. I was hoping to squeeze one more caller in, but it's actually 6 o'clock or coming up on it.
Wow. My goodness gracious, how it passes. Now, tell me this in the minute that we have left. When does this happen again?
Well, I believe that our next intensive is in June. And
oh, great.
I don't quite know what our focus is going to be yet, but we'll have one and we'll do this all over again.
Right. Same kind of format is going to happen.
Same kind of format. A week an assignment at the beginning of the week, a focus for the week, hopefully the texting component, although we had some challenges with that, and like that.
Good. Good. So anybody who loved it can tell a friend, right? Because it's open to anybody who wants to deepen their practice, I would imagine. And
Sherry, this part is just part for those people registered with a year long, because the registration bit was a little difficult. So
it's just us chickens. Oh,
just us chickens.
Oh, nice.
Although
right.
The next RL intensive, which is in September, is open to everybody, and not to mention the email class that is like a couple of weeks away.
Right. Yeah. First North Carolina and then the email class. So good. All right.
Yeah.
Good things to look forward to. Thank you, Ashwini.
Thank you, Sherry. Deep Gosho.
And thanks to everybody, huh? Talk to you soon.
It was a wonderful experience.
All
Have
right.
a nice evening.
Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.